It's not just about bringing businesses in. Sometimes it's about encouraging businesses to start up. Grow Hayes Executive Director talks to us about the difference between the two and why both are valuable on this episode of the Post Podcast. This week, we thought we'd hit on entrepreneurship versus recruitment. And I've got to believe that one of them is better than the other, right?
Well, I don't know about that. I wouldn't put it quite like that, but they are both important, and at different times you focus on different aspects of it. At Grow Hayes, our mission is business creation, business retention and expansion, and business recruitment. And traditional economic development would be what we term as smokestack chasing. You know, you're looking for the big company to come to your community to open a plant and employ lots of people. And while that would be wonderful if that would happen, depending on the type of business and that type of thing, those opportunities are not out there like they were at one time. And so we have chosen to focus a lot more on the business creation aspect, which basically revolves around entrepreneurship. And so we have, in the last couple of years, put a lot of focus on trying to grow our own, you know, trying to help young entrepreneurs figure out how they make their idea become a reality, help small business owners, if somebody has a business that they're ready to retire from and sell, make sure we have an entrepreneur that's willing to step in and maybe buy that business as opposed to close it, and just try and grow internally and organically versus trying to recruit from the outside, at least the large opportunities. Now, that doesn't mean we're not looking for opportunities like the larger companies that would come to town and that kind of thing, because we absolutely do. But those opportunities are just very rare, and we feel we can be very effective at growing our own if we create this local culture of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And we have done that. You know, we've done that with things like our Pitch It event, where people come in and pitch their idea, a contest. Fort Hayes has an active entrepreneurship department, I'll call it, where they have the Faulkner Challenge, and they do a lot of things. They just had their startup weekend just this last weekend. So they're fostering entrepreneurship, and we just more and more want to develop this, what I would refer to as a culture locally of an entrepreneurial mindset. So real important that we do that. We're not forgetting about recruitment, but we absolutely are very focused on entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I got to believe that's, out here in Western Kansas in general is just huge, because I think about business recruitment, something I have a little bit of experience in, not a lot, but some, recruiting help, you know what I mean? And it's really hard to, if you're talking to somebody that lives in Chicago or Kansas City, even maybe Denver, and say, hey, come out here and live in Western Kansas, it's a hard sell.
It certainly can be. Rural and Remote is a program that is being sponsored by the Hansen Foundation right now, trying to get people to perhaps relocate back into rural areas that they can work a job that maybe is traditionally a office job in Chicago, but now because of technology and not to mention COVID, they have the opportunity maybe to relocate. So we're working on some of that. But the thing you touched on there, workforce is a significant challenge in rural America and Western Kansas. Our unemployment rate in Ellis County, I believe, dropped below 3% again last month, even in the height of a pandemic. And it's been as low as, I think, even below 2% before. So if you take a big company that's going to need 500 employees, and we're talking to them about coming to Ellis County, the question becomes, where do those employees come from? Mm-hmm. They're not going to bring them all with them. So they have to have a base from which they can recruit from. And while we believe that there are a significant number of people maybe that are underemployed in our community, and by that I mean people who have greater skills than maybe their current job is paying them for, Workforce continues to be a problem and a challenge for even existing companies. You know, I've talked to a number of companies that are just not able to be open full-time because they can't either get employees or their employees are quarantined or isolated because they have COVID. So very challenging time for recruitment, for sure. Challenging time for everything right now.
Oh, absolutely. You know what else I think? You know, when you talk about these large companies, say they do come in and, you know, an operation like Hess of that size, they come into Hays, maybe they do recruit that help, they bring him here, but then the tax incentives end or whatever else, or they just decide to relocate for whatever reason. Then we're in a situation where there's nothing quick and easy to replace all of those jobs. You know, it kind of puts us at the, I don't know what the right word would be, but the mercy of these large companies.
Well, sometimes. I mean, if you, of course, you're not old enough to remember, but I am. When Travenol left Hays, they were out in the Intersys building where Intersys is now, and they opted to relocate, and I believe they had 700 to 1,000 employees at that time. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge hit to our local, to the community in terms of economic hit and social hit and just lots of things. When you put all your eggs in one basket, you do expose yourself to a lot of risk that may come if for whatever reason that business or organization leaves the community or downsizes, whatever the case might be. It can be a really negative event, as opposed to if you have 20 or 30 entrepreneurial type companies. You've spread that risk, and you still have the opportunity for growth, steady growth, but you don't have all your eggs in one basket. Now, you mentioned Hess. That's a great entrepreneurial story for Hays, Kansas. I mean, Dan Hess started that company in the 80s and has grown it to just an amazing company. If you drive out by there, you know, every time I go out and go through that big building he has, I am just astounded that this can be in Hays, Kansas. But it's a great story, and we need more like that if we can.
Yeah, and there's some really entrepreneurial-minded folks here in Hays that are all constantly either trying to open new businesses or expand their businesses they have. I know we talked a little bit about this last week, some of the movement we're seeing on Vine Street with, and it seems like mostly local-owned businesses that are making some big moves.
There is. There is a lot of that. And that's one of the things, you know, we have our e-community loan program, which is designed to help those businesses get started, provide them some seed capital, work with the bank, and we provide the gap financing. You know, we've talked about it before. A bank, they're prudent with their lending practices. They'll loan 70, 80% of what a borrower might need, but that borrower may not have that other 20 to 30%. And that's where our gap funding comes in to try and help them get started and get their business up and going so that maybe they can be the next Hess or the next Nextech or whatever it might be. Those are the type of things we need to be focused on, and we are focused on.
Yeah. Now, with the recruitment piece, you know, I'm curious, how hard is it to find, you know, we talk about the big businesses, and you mentioned Travenol, which I actually was thinking about, but also, you know, more recently, I'm thinking Sykes. Sykes came in, they were here for, if I remember right, about 6 years, recruited some help in, and then they left. But how do we get those smaller businesses that maybe that, you know, it's kind of that same model as the small local-owned entrepreneur, you know, 2 to 3 employees, but it's a chain or a franchise. How does that, you know, shape up, and especially now with the pandemic going on?
Well, now is kind of the exception to the rule because not many businesses are looking to expand or relocate. You know, they're pretty much hunkered down trying to survive. But if you look back over the years, the companies that have come, a lot of it's word of mouth, contact, creating an environment where, you know, the city, the county, everybody, we have a reputation. We want to make sure that we're known as a business-friendly community. If you look back, A1 Plank, I believe they relocated a long time ago. They were from California, and they relocated here. And then, of course, Sykes initially came in, and then NEW followed them in. And you just got to keep the word out there. And so many times it's somebody who knows somebody. Kind of interesting, but that's a lot of the times the way it works. And then you get a lead, and you've got to follow up on it. You know, it's salesmanship 101 in those situations. You get a lead, you follow up on it, you find out what their needs and desires are, and try and fill those needs and desires if you can. A lot of times it's surrounding a facility. As an example, when that facility was built and then they left, or when Travenol left, you've got some amazing facilities out there with that can be acquired, and another business can come in and operate out of. That makes a big difference. I know Salina, you know, they had the old Air Force base, and they have like 1 million square feet of buildings out there. And so they're able to be in a great position to recruit some manufacturing or aircraft-related industries because they've already got the facilities in place, as opposed to having to build something. So a lot of factors in it, but those can certainly be some of them that are really important is just having facilities for them that are in place.
Yeah. You know, and Doug, I'd love to talk about that more, but we're down to just a couple of minutes, and I know we've got some activities coming up that we want to hit on. And I think part of what you mentioned as the culture piece would be events like what you guys are doing and constantly do down at Brief Space and Grow Haze.
Sure. I mean, we mentioned a little bit earlier, but our Youth Entrepreneurship Challenge, which is Ellis County High School students have a day where they come down to Brief Space, and it's a contest sponsored by Network Kansas, where they do presentations, basically trade show booth presentations of their idea, their product. And we have 3 judges, and they judge that competition and award some cash prizes to these kids. We've typically had anywhere from 25 to 35 participants, you know, individual, and then they may do it in teams or they may do it individually. But it's a great event, and we have a good time, and that's, you're exactly right in terms of creating that culture. You've got to start at that level. We haven't yet, but some other communities have actually had junior high entrepreneurship challenges, and we'd like to, because I don't think you can start too young with trying to develop that mindset. And then, of course, our other event is our quarterly luncheon on December the 8th, where we're going to give a 2020 recap. That should be interesting. Just kind of talking about what 2020 has happened. And actually, for Hayes and for Ellis County, it's been very positive. In spite of a lot of the challenges we faced, it's been a good economic year. But we'll kind of go over that at that meeting. Then we're also finishing up some of our remodeling down at Brief Space to make it a little more COVID friendly, as well as upgrading our audio visual capabilities. I'll close by mentioning that we are offering use of Brief Space free for the rest of 2020. So if you want to check us out and see what it's like to work down there, we welcome anybody to come down and do so. There's been quite a few that have, but we've still got plenty of room.